morning. Good morning. Thank you. There you are. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being with us in our service today, especially if this is your first time. We just love our first timers so very much, and our second timers and our third timers and so on and so on. Good morning to Online Church. We're so glad that you've joined us as well. Or perhaps you're not watching Sunday morning, but you're logging on later in the week. We just love that you're doing that and that you're with us here at Harvest, where we're having a good time. Are we having a good time? Well, six of you are having a good time. That's great. I'll get you primed up before the end of the service. A few weeks ago, I had this young man from our church ask if he could come and have a private sit-down meeting with me. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And so Corey Ramson came over to the house and sat in my living room. And he said, you know, I've talked to my parents and to Karen's parents, and I'd like... Pastor, I'd like to talk to you today about proposing marriage to Karen, and he said, I just would like, you know, you to pray that we're just believing this is God's will, and just have that, you know, the covering of the church and all of those things, and which I so appreciate. And I said, no, Corey, I'm sorry, I got in beside him and put my arms around him, however that happened, but I just know it was a real precious moment as we prayed, and if you're a Facebook person, you already know. If not, I would just love Karen and Corey to stand, and would you just put your hands together? Congratulate them on their engagement to be married. Hey, really, we could do it right now. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here before God and these witnesses. Corey, do you take care and be your lawfully widowed? You may kiss your bride. Oh, that's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day. John's going to cry. I'm going to cry a lot. We were out to dinner this week with some pastors that you know really well, Cam and Sandra Jeffs from Kingston. We just love them so much, and met them this Friday evening. And they kept asking me, they go, so how are you going to be, you know, that Karen's getting married? And I'm going, I don't know. I'm going to be like I am every day. And that's what he was after, that just burst of emotion that just sprung on me. We're just so happy, Karen, for you and for Corey and the great legacy of the Brink family. That now is getting swallowed up in the Ramson family. That's what happens with girls. All right, mother and father leave, and I got to get back on track here. Okay, I'm distracted. All right. Hey, just before I jump into the Word this morning, I'm excited about a new series called There Is a Better Way, about a four-week series as far as I know right now. But just before I do that, I wanted to tell you about a conversation that I had recently with a church that we kind of are involved in a significant way, in a church in Puebla, Mexico called Fuente, and pastors Eric and Edelith Jacobowitz, and they've been here in our church, and they are overseeing just really a premier church in Mexico that's gone regional, and a couple thousand people and several campuses. They do like 9 services a Sunday. They each do 4 each. They co-pastor the church. Edelith has her 4 that she does, and Eric does 4, and then they meet back home sometime, I don't know, later in the week, I guess, but it really is amazing. And I'm on his apostolic council there, and so I serve in that church and just to give oversight and prayer and counsel. And we were chatting about wanting to get his folks together, and we tried to get a conference together this fall. It didn't work out. And so I began to talk to him and ask him about what other needs there might be, and he wasn't sure, and I volunteered something. I said, you know, when I was there for one of your anniversary services 5 years ago, all of the church family, probably about 1,200 at that time, met together in a facility, and they just never are able to do that, to be able to get into one facility to have the whole family of churches together. It was super powerful. It's just the worship and the vision that went forth that night, having the whole family there. And I said, what would it take to have everybody together like that again? He said, a lot of money. And I go, forget the money for a minute. What would it take? And what would happen? And he began to dream with his wife, Edelith, and they got back to me a couple weeks ago, and they are like vibrating excited about the opportunities that are opening up about having the family come together. They'd hoped to do it for Christmas and have just a Christmas service, but it's worked out that the venue that's most ideal is available a second week of January. It's going to be a visionary meeting, and just people that don't have transportation, which would be common in some of the cities they're in Mexico, they're going to be bussing in the church family all to land in this venue. And at Harvest Christian Fellowship, I felt like in my heart and talked with our leadership team that we should make that happen. And that this year, a little bit different, it's Christmas time. We normally do Operation Heart. It's a local missions across the way, and we help families who are in need. And we've done that for a number of years. And we will continue doing that, but we feel to pause that this year and do Operation Fuente. And take our Christmas money and sow it into this. Yeah, you're already feeling it, aren't you? And just thank you. That's just that sense of comfort. It's like, yeah. And that's what we look for. We call that just a yes in the spirit. It's just that sense of God saying this is a good thing to do. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. I'd like to take the offering up sometime in November and have it off to them before December. And so you can already be praying about how God might use you. The cost of the entire event is 14,000 Canadian. He said, it's $10,000. I said, I think we're... And I said, American or Canadian? He goes, American. I go, well, that's 14, but we'll rise to the occasion. So you'd be praying about and thinking about how you can be involved. They're going to be sending some video footage, and we'll personalize this leading up so you can feel like you're a part of what's going on. Let's jump in the scriptures this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. I was preparing, and I fasted this week. I felt this series as I got ready, and I've been getting ready actually throughout the summer, preparing for this particular series, and just asking God for breakthrough. Say breakthrough. In your heart and in mine, and that God would be able to speak to us. And so I think you'll understand as we go in Isaiah, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And his ways are so much better. That's why this whole series is called There Is a Better Way. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And better, by the way. And my thoughts and your thoughts. And then it describes the word of God. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven. We don't want snow. Lord, I really would just prefer rain. But live in Cornwall. There might be some snow. But it's talking about the water cycle that God designed in the most excellent way. And he designed it so that the earth could harvest. There could be seed time and harvest. As the sun and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth. So that this rain cycle, it's not like, oh yeah, no big deal. No, it's a big deal. Life, there is no life without the rain cycle. It makes the earth bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower. So a farmer can take the seed and have seed for next year. Say next year. Have some seed for next year. And bread for the eater. I could have some seed for right now. Some bread to eat right now. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Holy Spirit, I ask, not that this word be fulfilled, because it already is. You've declared your word, but we would be those who would live under the water cycle of your word, that this morning and the series would go forth and it would accomplish its purpose. And Lord, there would be seed for the sower, bread for the eater in the house of God. I ask these things today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Today's subtitle is Uncomplicated Money. Uncomplicating money. Because it's complicated sometimes. Feels complicated. And as Christ followers, sometimes it gets more complicated, it seems. It shouldn't, but it seems like it does. In this series, I want to share with you what the Bible says about our personal finances. And I want you to see that God's will is to bless you and to prosper you. We see it clearly throughout the scriptures, but I like this verse in Genesis. It says, now there was a famine in the land. We were just talking about the rain cycle. When the rain cycle wasn't happening And agriculturally based economies face famine, sometimes for years, and we'd read about them in the Bible. I mean, the economy would crash. There was no buying and selling. It would just get really, really bad. And in a time of famine, when there is no agriculture, because there was no rain, besides the previous famine, so they're living in a famine. Oh, yeah, not just this famine, but there was another one, too, in Abraham's time. And this is talking about Abraham's son. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Don't go down to Egypt. And Egypt was a metropolitan city area where there were opportunities. If there were problems in the Bible, when we read about God's people, they would often say, I'm heading to Egypt. Where did God take his people out of? What was the place he took them out of? He took them out of Egypt. So Egypt, throughout the scriptures, represents a place of bondage and a place of man's will and man's ways and man's expertise that sometimes appears like it's working. And God said, don't go in the difficult time down to Egypt. Egypt's not the place we go in the difficult times. There are examples in the Bible where God would tell his people. In fact, he told Mary and Joseph to flee to Egypt. And that's another story and another application. But predominantly, stay out of Egypt, even when it's bad. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Yeah, but there's a famine there. Economy is awful. We're just gonna uproot and choose a new place, God, where there's better economy. You know, it's important that we have a good living and we make money and we can supply for our kid. No, don't make a decision based on what you see. Make a decision based on what I say. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. So Isaac stayed. Isaac planted crops in that land, which is ludicrous. He took his seed for the eater. That there is no next year because there's famine. You put seed in the ground in dry, dusty, famine ground. It's going to spit it back out yet, or the birds are going to eat it. I mean, you don't plant, but God said plant. Say plant. Say it again. So God told him to plant. Stay in the land. Don't go to Egypt. All right. God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold. And so the return, and I don't know how it all worked. I don't know that when he put that seed down into that dusty ground, if somehow it transformed the ground, transformed the seed, transformed the atmosphere. I don't know what got transformed, but something got transformed when he trusted God in his land where God told him to live, and he put seed in the ground and trusted the Lord. God blessed him. The Lord blessed him. The man became rich. His wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Don't go to Egypt. There's another way. There's God's way. This morning I'm talking to you about a better way. It's interesting when we come into the New Testament that Jesus talked about money twice as much as he talked about heaven and hell. Twice as much. There are 38 parables in the New Testament. 16 of them teach about possessions and money. There are 500 verses about prayer and faith. There are 2,000 verses about money and possessions. So why does the Bible talk about it? Because it's really important. Why did Jesus talk about it? Because it's really important. Because Jesus knew that nothing, say nothing, nothing will compete for first place in your life like money and possessions. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. God wants to be number one in your life. He won't take number two spot. He's God. He wants number one spot. He wants us to give him number one spot. And so I want to take some time, because I believe discipleship, understanding how to be a Christ follower, and being tied to money and possessions is so paramount that, in fact, I think a great deal of our discipleship has to do with the heart condition toward money and possessions. And that you can't talk about discipleship or being a Christ follower without it. It was interesting, though, in all these years I've been preaching and teaching, that people get funny about money. And you can feel the tension in the room. I can feel it right now. And I was trying to decide, and when we speak about money and possessions, oftentimes we think about some way to make it light and have a good funny joke, and I look for them all, and there just aren't any. Googled it. Funny joke for the series that I want to do when people get funny about money. See, look, you didn't even laugh. Like, that's funny. That was funny. That right there was funny. That was good. If we did a poll right now in our marriages this morning, did a poll, and I asked you, what are the two things you fight about the most? Let's just do the poll. What are the two things you guys fight about the most? Money. You don't want to say the other one because you think something bad's going to happen. What's the other one? Sex.
Oh, you're doing sex.
Like the two things that are so important to God. That's why I highlighted this great couple this morning, because they're choosing to do marriage God's way. There's a way to do this. And God honors and God blesses, and there's a better way than the world's way. And that's another sermon. But those two things, sex and money, like as couples, right? As couples, we probably fight about those things the most. And yet those are the things we talk about the least in the house of God. And so as we talk about discipleship, and we want to just, at Harvest, we want to be able to understand what the Scripture says.
Well, I'd like to hear more about sex in church, Pastor Roy.
Another series. We will. Promise. I can tell you how just, you know, when we first got married, Christina just pursued me. I mean, it was like, I felt like a piece of meat, honestly. Like, I just... said no husband ever in the whole planet. God designed it so that we could actually get things done in our lives. Billy Graham said if a person could get their attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of their life. True story. So why does it make us so nervous? Why is there tension in this room right now? Why is it so hard sometimes when it comes to money, and why do we fight over it? Well, Jesus does a teaching for us, and I want to just spend the rest of our time this morning focusing on this one verse. And I'm focusing on it because I really, this is it. This is like, if we don't get this, we don't get anything that follows. And anything that follows this morning doesn't make sense without this one, because this is the one that helps us understand why, when we talk about a special offering, we reach down, you know, kind of subconsciously and grab our wallet and squeeze it really, really, really tight. And then all of the thoughts and processes go in our mind about all what I need in this moment, and there's no way I can afford to give. Why do I do that? Well, we're going to see. Why, when we're talking about finances in church, do people go, you know, they just want your money in church? And I'll tell you right now that God doesn't want anything from you. I don't want anything from you, but God wants a whole lot for you. God wants something for you. He wants you to learn how to live in a land where famine could happen. But you trust a God who says, "I whether the ground's being transformed or it doesn't matter. The people who trust God live in the prosperity, live in a different economy than the world does. And so Jesus gives us his teaching, and as we understand this morning, this is kind of where the plumb line goes out, and your heart will keep coming back to this verse. It'll just keep coming back, and you'll check yourself with this verse. So let's spend some time and understand it. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, in your translation of the Bible, it might say money, and that's not a bad translation. It's just not a good one, because Jesus was speaking Aramaic when he was doing this teaching. It's transferred into Greek. He used an Aramaic word, and he used the word mammon. That didn't have a great Greek translation, and it really doesn't have any kind of an English translation. And so the translators just, it's mammon. He said and used the word mammon purposely, intentionally, as we're going to see in his context what he was talking about. He says, you can't serve me. Jesus says, you can't serve me and mammon. It's the only place that Jesus says you can't serve me and sports. You can't serve me and your hobby. He doesn't say that, but he does say you can't serve me and mammon. Say mammon. It's important we understand this morning. This word mammon, this concept that's vying for us. Two voices in our life, very strong voices, and we have to heed. We maybe like one more than the other. We were kind of, sometimes we make decisions and we find ourselves living in the confusion. This morning I'm talking about uncomplicating money. We live in the confusion of feeling of two different pulls when it comes to being a Christ follower and our money and possessions. In the mid-90s, corporations were redefining management models. and in their flowcharts, they were thinking, they were getting away from the corporations, the stogie-smoking, screaming manager that just would walk in on the floor, you guys get to work or else you're all fired. And they were moving away from that model because that wasn't working. And they were moving more toward a community relational model in the workplace and trying to get the most out of people. If you yell at them, you don't get the most. And people weren't afraid of losing their jobs anymore, so they go work somewhere else. So the day of working somewhere for 30 years is unheard of. Nobody does that. So these mid-90s, they're looking for some better models. And they came up with this idea that, I know what we'll do, in the flow chart, in the box, we'll put two guys or two gals or a guy and a gal, or whatever the case may be. But people can decide which boss they could go talk to about their problems. Well, I don't even have to finish that thought for you to know that was a complete and absolute disaster. Because our kids do that, don't they? If you don't have a unified mom and dad voice... Right? Do your kids get in between you at all? Try. You are out there, right? You're not being funny about money. You didn't already close off on me, did you? You're there? Okay, good. And so the kids figure out who the disciplinarian is. The kids figure out who the softy is. And the kids will love one, hate the other. And when it's just however it works out for them. And if you allow that chaos to happen in your family, you know it's chaos. So mom and dad get together and present one voice. Say one voice. You cannot serve two voices, two bosses, two masters. And Jesus is clearly teaching in this context, when it comes to money and possession, there are two voices that you will hear. There will be the voice of God and through God's word, and there will be the voice of mammon. And so we should understand what mammon is. So if you do a basic Google search, some images will come up. This first image is from one of the more modern interpretations of mammon. I don't know. I think this might be a gaming character called Mammon, and you can see all the gold and the riches underneath. Another, this is an artistic rendition that's ancient art, and a lady begging at the knee of some kind of a sovereign who's holding out a bag of money. That's mammon. She's bowing at the knee of mammon. And then another image that comes up and another gaming interpretation. This is also mammon. Say mammon. Another cartoon character. This isn't mammon. This is Mr. Burns. This is Mr. Burns. And I didn't let my kids watch Simpsons. Didn't watch The Simpsons. They all did when they left home, laughed a lot at it, asked why, and whatever. And so The Simpsons, Mr. Burns, who worships money. And what we learn in one of the episodes on the next image is that Mr. Burns' mansion is at the corner of Croesus and Mammon Street. It's interesting. And Croesus is an emperor in like 500 BC who's known for it was very, very rich. A sovereign who just through slavery and just being the worst kind of king ever accumulated in the then known world the largest amassed fortune ever. So as we look at the world's interpretation, and it's an old one, it goes back into antiquity, that mammon, Jesus said, you can't serve these two voices, God's voice and mammon, that mammon was understood and is still understood, even in society, that mammon is a spirit. Whether someone agrees to or understands in the demonic realm, and we do, that mammon is a demonic spirit that is seeking to destroy you. And Jesus said, you cannot listen to this demonic spirit of mammon and my voice without getting all convoluted. You will either, I love this voice now, but oh my goodness, I love God too, and I want that voice. And oh my goodness, I feel so conflicted, and I don't know what to do, and this is hard, and it's hard financially, and it's hard, and they want us to give what? Because you can't serve two voices. And this morning is about identifying, and for some of you this might be new, for some a reminder, that there are absolutely, and this world's economy and world system is built on mammon. Mammon, go to Egypt, uproot, go where it's better, go where the grass is greener. Well, we didn't pray about it. Oh, you don't need to. Just go where the opportunity is. Got to go where the money is. Mammon, that's mammon speaking. And Isaac said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to talk to God. I don't like it, but I'm going to do what God says and learn to live. Now, this idea of demonic spirits might be weird to you. I don't want to weird you out with that, but just show you in Ephesians, for our struggle, anybody have a struggle ever? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, meaning people. It's actually against the rulers, against the authorities, like police and Trudeau. Well, maybe, but no, not those authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil that live in the heavenly realms. They don't live in hell. They live in the atmosphere. They live in our atmosphere. The demonic realm is real. Mammon is real. It's a real spirit, powerful spirit. And the false god of mammon wants you to put your trust in money and possessions. Go to Egypt. Go to the world system when things are hard. Things are good, hey. It's when things get hard that we have to make decisions, it seems. And I will tell you, mammon will tell you, if you just had more money, things would be better. This morning, I'm not talking about if you're below the poverty line today and struggling I understand, but I'm talking today about that in a normal situation, even when we can, when we should be able to pay the bills, feed the family, mammon will tell you, no, if you had more, and the fight ensues. Why did you spend on that? Why did you spend? If we had more money, we wouldn't fight in our marriage. If we had more money, we'd be more secure. There'd be no worries or difficulty. We just need more. And more money isn't bad, but it's not the answer. If we had a better house, better car, better vacation, things would be better. And so mammon and God, these two voices, and they say very, very different things. And that's why I want to just look at this morning and uncomplicate so you can look at it, pray about it, and maybe determine which voice you've been listening to, because Jesus was clear about this. Very different things. Mammon says you are the owner of everything. If it's at your house, I mean, hey, possession is 9/10 of the law, at least in America. Hey, if it's yours, you worked for it, you earned it, you sweat for it, man, it's yours. You deserve it. And so I can pull up my credit card and get some more, even though I don't have the money for it. Mammon says, hey, you got to own it. You need to be an owner. And the more you own, the better it is. You're the owner. Except God's voice doesn't say that. God's word declares something completely different. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. The verse begins by stating clearly that God is the God above every God. Say strongest God. Strongest God. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. I want you to see the descriptive words that are all-inclusive. As I read it again, and I will pronounce them so you'll get which ones I'm talking about, begins by saying that God's the greatest God. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, O Lord. This is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over, say it with me. You got it. And so God's voice is, no, I actually own everything. I created this. I made all of this. This is mine. It belongs to me. And so God owns everything. And that first point, again, we're building here, God's voice, very different than Mammon's voice that wants you to believe the lie that you own everything. So Mammon says you're the owner of everything, but we understand from this scripture, God is the owner of everything. Well, Mammon tells you that if you own it, then you have authority over it. You can do with it whatever you want. You're the boss. Say, I'm the boss. I was waiting for the back to the marriage piece to see if the husbands were saying that louder than the wives were saying it. I'm the boss. Or whether there'd be any nudges like, no, you're not. I am. See, it's tense in here. You feel it? That would be a funny joke right there. Mammon will tell you you're the boss because you get up to go to work every morning. Man, I go to work. I work two jobs. I work hard. God doesn't go to work for me. I don't see God going off Monday morning to work. My boss, who's a jerk, doesn't even see that, appreciate what I do. This is my stuff. And I can get whatever stuff I want whenever I want to. And nobody's going to tell me what stuff I'm going to get. I want stuff. I'm getting some stuff. And that's Mammon's voice telling you that you're the owner. You just need more. Be a bigger owner. And then you can control all your stuff. God's voice doesn't say that. God's voice is something very, very different. You may say to yourself, because he knew what we say to ourselves when we're listening to the voice of Mammon. You might say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced all this for me. Look at the house. We worked. This is blood, sweat, and tears right here. We worked for this. This is ours. We deserve this. All this is ours. You might say that to yourself. As a Christ follower, we try not to say it out loud maybe, but we might say it to ourselves. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Gives you the strength, gives you the ability, the know-how, the wisdom. Mammon says you're the owner of everything, but we learn in the scripture that God said, no, I'm the owner. Mammon says you're the boss. God said, no, you're the general manager. And it's very different. And general managers of hockey teams take it very personally. You would think the general manager was the owner by how involved they are, but they're not the owner. Somebody else is paying all of the bills and fronting all of the money for the team. The general manager gets to have all of the fun managing the team without any of the stress and worry about the financial piece of it. And if he does his job, the team does a really, really great, and the owner continues to be blessed, and the owner keeps blessing the general manager. You're a general manager, or the Bible calls it stewardship. Because here's the deal. Here's the lie. Really? You're the boss? Because we all went through that horrific time called COVID, which I try to blank out. Like, that didn't, that really didn't happen, did it? And you'll hear the word like you just heard it and go, what? COVID? What? And the world's economy. Were you in charge? Were you able to control that? Were you able to control the changes that took place? No, none of us were the boss at that moment. I How about if you have a car accident tomorrow that's out of your control and changes your ability to work forever, your health? If you have a business today, I know some of you do, you don't really control your workers. They can quit on you. My wife oversees 80 employees or plus, right? 80 some. And it's a full-time just, you know, if with a predominantly female, whether they're going on mat leave or they want to go work for the school board or whatever it might be, there's a turnover rate, which is phenomenal because her turnover rate is minuscule compared to the industry standard of childcare turnover rate. So big shout out, honey, to your ability to lead, produce numbers like that. But she doesn't control that. Somebody can come in tomorrow. An overseer can come in because I can't oversee my department anymore. Can't control that. See, the reality is we think we are in control because of a lie that tells us we are, but we're really not. And in times of famine, that's when it really comes down. And I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, and God is good to do that. But there's a lifestyle of peace that comes with our money and our possessions. You can live at peace knowing you're managing somebody else's headache. For real. Literally. In the Bible. Because it's not mine. It's his. I just manage it for him. You're the general manager. Mammon says, you're the owner. It's all yours. God says, I'm the owner. Mammon says, you're the boss. God says, you're a steward. You're a general manager. Mammon says, God doesn't care what you do with your money. Just have fun. Be blessed. There's a teaching that people refer to like it's a four-letter word called prosperity gospel. And if you're not aware of it, Google it. And sometimes our church gets accused of this because we unashamedly talk about God's blessing. God wants to bless us. And the problem with a teaching that's out there in the body of Christ is that Mammon is still talking to so many people and they're mixing up the voices and they don't think, they just, God's going to bless me. I'm going to live in the blessing of God. I'm just going to make sure I have more than anybody else in Jesus' name. Well, that's Mammon, because God cares about what you do with the blessing he gives you. And so Mammon says God doesn't care. And God says, I actually really deeply care about what you do with what's mine. And so we teach prosperity gospel. I don't know if I like the word gospel there, but prosperity is a part of the gospel because it says that he spoke to, the good news to the poor, that he preached good news to the poor. Well, what's the good news to the poor? There's a different economy. It's prosperity with a purpose. God blesses us for a purpose that we can distribute his stuff, all the while blessing us as well. It's really a wonderful life, and it's a life of peace without stress and fighting because we're relinquishing what's not ours and giving it to God. This morning, I'm talking about uncomplicating money. It's simple and yet profound because many of us are living in the confusion of two voices and not even knowing it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, his voice trumpeting over all other voices. Give careful thought to your ways. And that's where I'm ending this morning, that we would give careful thought to our ways. I've presented a thought to you, and all I need you to do is decide, just on the chart, whose voice have I been listening to? Husbands and wives, whose voice have we been listening to? Mammon, it's mine, I earned it, I can do with it whatever I want. Yeah, I'm a Christ follower. I guess we're supposed to, you know, kick in some money, I guess, you know. And we do that too, but we don't really want to because, I don't know, it's confusing. No, we're just, let's just separate the voices. This is where we just have to start this morning, just separating the voices. This is what God says. Give careful thought to your ways. Have you planted much and harvested a little bit? You eat, still hungry. You drink, never have your fill. You put on clothes, they're not very good clothes. Seem to wear out a lot. You earn wages, put them in your purse and your bank account. Savings account's always empty. Phew, it's confusing. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, it's complicated serving two masters. And without deciding where this might all be going, I wonder if you would just open your heart this morning and just decide wherever you might be at in terms of money and possessions. Have you been listening to the spirit of mammon that controls this world? Or have you been listening to the voice of God? Hey, you might be here listening to both. You really want to honor God and you want to be the best Christ follower you can be. And you're asking about, what do I need to do? And I want God to transform me. And this is part of it. And this morning is about just identifying the confusion about money and going, oh my, of course it's confusing. I've been trying to listen to two voices, and you'll either love one or hate the other. And sometimes I like it, and sometimes I don't. And I like that, and I like a little bit of this. But you cannot have both this morning. God says, I want to be first. And again, without presupposing, God's not trying to set you up. I'm not trying to set you up. But I am trying to get you ready for a life of peace when it comes to money and possessions. God wants something for you. His ways are so much better. But it starts right here. A decision before the Lord. Whose voice will I listen to? Because mammon will scream at you for the next 3 weeks. I promise you. And God will whisper and say, I got this. Trust me. Doesn't matter what the economy is doing. Doesn't matter what is happening with your health. It doesn't matter what you're out of control, because you were never in control anyway. I am. Will you be my general manager today? Will you enjoy what I have for you? And if that's you this morning, just a simple yes. Identifying that voice, Lord, throughout this room, and I know online right now people are saying, hey, no holds barred. Unapologetically, I've been serving mammon. I've been listening to that voice. I didn't even know. And today, Lord, those of us that have been listening to mammon, we simply come to that place of saying, Lord, we repent, which that just means turn around from and go in a new direction. I'm not listening to that ugly image of that. I don't want that. Mr. Burns can hug his money and look ugly as hell. I want to embrace God's way and come into a new way that brings me life and joy and happiness. I want God's way. I turn from mammon. I turn to you, God. And Lord, we just acknowledge that your ways are higher, and so they're beyond understanding. But give us grace to have our spirits engage and go, yes, that's from God. I can hear God in that. I can hear God's voice in that throughout the rest of this series. Love you, Jesus. I love the stories we're going to hear on video of people, some that more recent and some that have been serving you 40, 50, 60 years of their life that know how to trust you in these areas, been discipled well. They're Christ followers who model this for us in this house. Just before we dismiss, I just want to ask this question today. You might be here and you say, man, I'm not only have I been listening to mammon, I've probably been listening to every other spirit out there too. I want to listen to God. And if you've never invited Jesus into your life to sit on the heart of your throne, the throne of your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You would say, I've been sharing my heart with everything and anything, but today I know I need a Savior. I know that I need to have Jesus in my life. If that's you today, I would love to pray a prayer with you. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to pray it with us. We're going to pray out loud. Everyone in this room. But today, if this is your prayer, it'll be your prayer. It'll be your prayer. And if that's you, I'm going to count down from three, simply three, two, and one. When I get to one, I'd just love to have you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm ready to invite Jesus into my life today. I'm tired of listening to myself and all the other voices. I want to listen to the voice of Jesus. If that's you, in three, two, and in one. Just raise your hand so I can see it. I'll acknowledge it, and we're going to pray together. Is there anyone in the room? Just glancing. If you're online, just text in today. I'm making a decision for Jesus. I don't see a hand today. My helpers aren't waving their arms, helping me, saying there is one. But what I'd like to do is just pray this prayer. If you're sitting and maybe you wanted to, you can enter in right now to this prayer. Let's all, Harvest, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today, I acknowledge I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Make me new. I receive eternal life. I receive forgiveness. I receive my brand new birth. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand together right now? Let's just before we're dismissed, let's sing this together.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one.
Aspect of my life.